miles from the Sonoma County coast. By hoity-toity wine country standards, Sebastopol is bohemian as all get out. The place for Birkenstocks and tie-dye, along with everything local and artisanal. Which means life here can get pricey, despite the holdover hippie vibe. Not that many decades ago, you could land a shack on 5 or 10 acres for next to nothing to grow your own lush, lovely homestead, historically centering on Gravenstein apples. Now, aging orchards fast become vineyards. Yet Sebastopol still has genuine country charm. Its casual attitude, insanely narrow, twisted roads, and carefully tended small homes suggest Southern Europe. Real people still live here. So hold that thought when you get stuck in a nasty traffic snarl, which happens in a tiny town loved by so many. Fellow gardeners, almost anything grows here, something master plant breeder Luther Burbank noticed right off, which is why in the late 1800s he established his 18-acre Gold Ridge Experiment Farm in Sebastopol. Burbank's plant progeny include the Santa Rosa plum, so many plums and prunes, in fact, even the first plum caught, plus the Shasta daisy and the Burbank russet potato. Altogether, more than 800 varieties of flowers, veggies, fruits, and nuts. In a time of cheap and loud celebrity, it seems incredible that a mild-mannered, untutored plant guy could become an international superstar and friend of other famed trailblazers, from Henry Ford and Thomas Edison to Yogananda. Stop by for the self-guided story, or pre-arrange a docent-led tour, which includes his cottage here, now a small museum. As notable as Luther Burbank's plants, another source of local pride is the town's amused and amusing urban folk art. The official art walk tours you through an entire neighborhood of distinctive front yard junk art created by Patrick Umio, Bridget Laurent, and their Big Times art studio. Florence Avenue, where the artists happen to live, is ablaze with colorful junk tucked in with the roses and trees. Half the fun in this pop rivet wonderland is noticing how it's done. One character boasts a repurposed flashlight for a nose, another a double coat hook or bed frame casters. Engaging eccentrics rise up from nearly every yard up and down the street, including the Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz, riding her Hoover vacuum to go get Dorothy.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
And sympathetic but comical superheroes. Here, Superman's sidekick is an actual Robin, tiny supersuit and all. Among the birds, the crowbar usually gets the biggest laugh. Squiffed corvids in fine feather, beak to bar, or bar stool. And believable if you've ever seen robins tumble stupidly out of pyracantha, pie-eyed from overripe berries. Still waiting for your prince? Florence Avenue's frog prince steps right out of the fairy tale, complete with a crown made from a turban-style roof vent and emergency flasher eyes. He offers royal bling, too, a sapphire ring big as a baseball. Tempted? As Chet Atkins and Ray Stevens say,
if you've never been a frog, then you don't know what you've been missing yet. There's a world of opportunity under each and every log.
Everyone loves the cycling, surfing, and tractor-driving dogs. The happy hog, manning the Three Little Pigs construction truck. Godzilla carrying off a distraught driver. All the baseball players, including the Babe. Even hockey stars. Timely social commentary, too. What with Ukraine delivering a literal body blow to Russia. Until next time, this is Kim Weir for Up the Road.
North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Northern Star Mills, serving the North Valley with farm, garden, and pet supplies since 1898. Northern Star Mills offers natural and organic soil amendments and fertilizers, as well as natural holistic pet supplies. Northern Star Mills is located in downtown Chico, across from the Bidwell Mansion. And by the Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image opened Monday through Friday, 9 to 3, and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. Well, today on North State Local Voices, I'm going to interview Susan Delgado and Grant Meyer, and they are with the Chico Horticultural Society and the Chico Garden Club. Yes?
Yes. Yeah, good. We go by both names.
You have a website. You have Facebook, I know, for the Chico Horticultural Society. And then you also have a website. And what's that
right,
website?
We have a website that's chicogardenclub.com.
Okay.
And it lists things like when we meet. You know, we meet on the third Monday of each month. It talks a little bit about our history and all that good stuff. And it also calls out upcoming speakers. So people want to know what's coming. If they're interested, they can see if the next talk is something, you know, that they want to attend.
Great. So it was, you know, it's funny because we've all heard of horticultural societies and garden clubs. I mean, it's just one of those things we all know. But I don't know that much about it. I know you've been around for a long time. Give me a little bit of a history, a little bit of your own history. And, you know, what goes on in Chico in the garden club?
Sure. Sue, do you want to take that or do you want me to take it?
I'll start. My history, I just joined the group in 2017 after I retired. So I've been serving as secretary the last 5 years, 4 years, 6 years, something like that. I got into it because I love being at my yard, working in the yard, and I always have questions, and you can go get questions answered. The club's been around for 102 years. We just had a big birthday party because we couldn't celebrate during COVID. And looking back at the history, they've been in competition flower shows and plant shows. We're not into the competing right now. We're trying to recover from COVID. But we've had decorators win awards nationwide and entering flowers nationwide, flower specimens, plant specimens, things like that.
And I looked like on the Facebook page, there's some beautiful outdoor little settings, a little bench and some plants.
Yeah, I think, you know, we do two main kind of events at the fairgrounds a year.
Okay.
When the fair is going on, we do little gardens with displays. They're really cute in front of some of the agricultural buildings. That might be what you
saw. That might have been. Yeah.
Yeah, and then in the spring there's the Home and Garden Show at the fairgrounds.
Oh,
we
okay.
also do a huge plant sale with a little display, and then we have like botanical specimens, you know, what's blooming, what's not. And then a white elephant sale. So we do that kind of thing too. So we're at the fairgrounds a fair bit. And yeah, those little design gardens, people love those. It's such a fun way to express.
Oh, I loved it. It was so nice. How do you know all this stuff? I mean, there's a lot to know about gardening and plants and when to plant and what's good. And, you know, if there's an artistic side to it, how do you, you know, I guess that's what makes people interested in being in the club.
Yeah. All right. We're open to anyone, you know. Yeah, sorry, you know, any experience level. So we have people who are very new to gardening and who want to learn gardening and learn local gardening. They may have been an expert gardener somewhere else, so they join the club for that. Other people, like I am, I've been gardening since I was like 5 years old. I mean, it's the biggest thing I do in life. It's what I love. And I just wear people out in person. So I got to find people who will tolerate garden talk all day, you know. So for me, it was a great way to find people that I can talk, you know, gardening to. And even though I've been gardening, you know, for a long, long, long time, I still learn new stuff every meeting. I'm always like, well, I didn't know that, you know, and sometimes it's someone who's been gardening a long time. And other times it's someone who's kind of newer and discovered something on their own and just, you know, share it in kind of a safe environment and a fun environment.
Yeah.
And we learn. So some of us have a lot of experience, some not so much, some a lot in the middle, you know, and that's why they join, is to talk about plants and gardening and stuff.
And how they go together and probably pests. And all that.
Yeah, we usually have like a 30-minute social time, and that's one of my favorite times in the club, because that's you just say, who's starting seeds? What are you starting? Or people bring in specimens with disease or bugs, and people will, you know, if it's got an issue, it's in a plastic bag, of course. You know,
sure.
But then people will say, what is this? Or I just want to show you an example of a oak gall or, you know, aphids or whatever it is.
Yeah. So speaking about your meetings, that's, you meet, how often do you meet?
We meet once a month, and we cut out the summer months, but we have a guest speaker or we take a field trip once a month. And some of our speakers have just been phenomenal. And then we've been to the High Hand Nursery in Loomis. We've been up to Paradise. We're going to go to the Gateway Science Museum for their garden area. We had the speaker from that come and talk to us about it. Now we want to go see it. We've been to Magnolia Nursery and got a tour there. What else, Grant?
Let's see. We did a tour of behind the scenes at the horticulture department at Butte College.
Oh, that's right.
That was really fun. I think a lot of us learned, you know, a lot of things there. We took a field trip to the worm farm, you know, in the south end of town. And that's just a fun, you know, different thing that you wouldn't normally get exposure to. You know, we all know about worms, but, you know, here's someone who dedicated their life to growing worms and the benefits of worms. So, yeah, we do a lot of field trips. And like Sue said, we have a lot of speakers. You know, we've had Jennifer Jewell and a lot of people from the Rose Society.
Yes.
And people will talk about, you know, grafting, native plants, bees, native bees, you know, just their favorite wildflowers. It's really fun. And we, like we said, we do publish it on the website, what's coming up, so people can kind of drop in if they're really interested in a subject or whatever. So we do that. You know, we meet the third Monday of every month.
Okay, that's what
at
I
the
want.
Library.
Okay.
Yeah, the Chico Library, you know, on Sherman Avenue. The library is closed on Mondays, but if you just come on that outside entrance on Sherman, you can come into, we use the conference room that they have, and we have a monthly meeting every third Monday. And it's really a fun thing.
How many people come?
Well, our meetings are free and open to the public, and we currently have about 45 members. And every meeting, since we've started meeting live again, we've had guests come, and some of them become members. So if you like what you see, I bet our average since COVID has been 22, 25 people. Meeting.
Yeah. And if you're a gardener or someone who's interested in plants, this just piques your interest and you go, oh, yeah, I want to go.
Right. Yeah. Like-minded people, you know, and we have people who, you know, home gardeners. We have people who are in agriculture. We have people who, you know, like to grow crops. They like to grow flowers. You know, we have people who just do houseplants.
Yeah.
It's a really.
Gardeners.
Yeah.
Yeah, master gardeners.
Master gardeners in our group as well.
Yeah. And I saw like the bonsai people.
We have several members who are in the bonsai club. Yeah.
At the Home and Garden Show, we're going to have the Bonsai Society and the Rose Society, the Orchid Society. There'll be a children's school class display of a project that they're working on now, as well as our plant sale. So all the different gardening groups in Chico come together at the Home and Garden Show in that one building.
Yeah, that's good. And you probably have been the mainstay for, like you said, 102 years.
Right, yeah. We've been around since 1921.
Yeah.
We're nonprofit, right? So we're a 501c founded in 1921. We're a charter member of the California Garden Clubs, which means we were one of the oldest garden clubs in the whole state of California, which is kind of surprising to me because, you know, we're kind of a rural area. We're pretty far north, removed from big cities, but we're one of the oldest garden clubs in the state of California.
Yeah. Neat.
Some of the community things that we do, we give flowers to the library as a thanks for letting us come there. We maintain the flowers at the Chico History Museum. We used to do the Rose Garden downtown, but the Rose Society's taken that over. We give out school grants. I think we've given out over $15,000 of school gardening grants.
We also did a big donation to Future Farmers of America. So we just gave them another $1,000 just as a donation.
Yeah.
And the school grants are great because they encourage young gardeners, they encourage teachers to do programs at schools. And it's an active thing right now. If you go to the website, there's a registration form where people can go, educators can go and register. And it's things like doing a butterfly garden or doing an edible garden or a native garden. It's fun projects for the kids. And, you know, we're always trying to grow the community of like future gardeners.
Yes, that is so good. You do know about the Butte County local food network?
Yeah, we do. We encourage people to come and talk about a lot of those programs. You know,
yes.
Pam actually has spoken at the club.
Absolutely.
Yeah, about what they do. And then the Garden Blitz, we talk about that.
Yes, that's happening. Yes, the Garden Blitz.
Yeah,
so
yeah. There's like a you know, the plant sale and all that other stuff. So and then
good.
The garden grants. And then we have the kids come in and do projects when we have our booth at the Home and Garden Show. So we kind of encourage them to do like an artistic project.
Yes.
Or a little thing. Just to really, I mean, it's so important to get kids involved in gardening young to see how much fun it is, you know, that it's not work, that it's fun.
And beautiful. When you look at some of those gardens and the flowers, I mean, that's what will draw people in sometimes is the beauty of it.
You bet. Yeah, I'm a huge, you know, I'm a flower grower. That's my favorite thing because I just love that contrast between the green leaves and a big colorful pink flower. You know, I still do some veggies and things, but I like the beauty of it, you know, and and people come and visit the garden. And I always say, you know, I want the plants to be happy more than be well designed, you know. So my mom always calls my garden style clown's pants because it's just every different color anywhere you can find it. But all the plants are happy, you know, and that's the thing that's important to me is even though the colors may clash, if they're both happy, that's where I'm going to put them.
Yes. It's funny. I had a fella come and help me this year in my yard. And what did he call it? He called it a country garden, or it's sort of not hodgepodge by any means, but
country
not
garden,
real planned out, different things. And then he says, if it doesn't work, you pull that one out. If it works, you grow more of those. You kind of get a relationship with your plants, which I bet you guys know a lot about that.
I had a lot better relationship till my son got chickens.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah, they like a lot of my plants, unfortunately.
Oh boy, yes. They don't go together.
But they're not eating the geraniums, the irises, the salvia. I mean, some things they don't touch, the mint.
Yeah.
The things that have oil on them, they don't like it.
Yeah, they don't like it.
The lavender, the rosemary. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And even stuff like that. That's something that we would mention like in the casual social time of the garden club.
Yeah.
And you learn something new. Like I just learned that. I didn't know that about the chickens, but you know, it's stuff like that, that rich kind of conversation that
those
we have
little, yes.
in the social time, especially that you just, someone will just make a side comment and you're like, oh, well, I didn't know oleander was toxic, or I didn't know that some irises rebloom or whatever it is, you know, it's a fun way to learn things too.
We trade plants among members as well.
Uh-huh.
So if somebody has an abundance of something, hey, come and pick some iris at my house. Or I mean, I gave away 3 wheelbarrows of calla lilies because I just was sick of them. So I dug them up and said, come and get them.
Come get them. Yeah. So you have decisions are made with the whole group, and you have a group like, you know, where you're going to take flowers and when you're doing your grants. There's like a little governing body or whatever that does those things.
Sure. Yeah, we have a that's a great question. We have a board of directors, which is the current president, vice president, the secretary. That's Sue right now. I'm in it from being the former president. We have a couple directors and our treasurer, and we kind of help guide the group behind the scenes, you know, but we still present things to the entire group to make sure we vote on, you know, what we're participating, you know, what we're participating in, what we're doing. The vice president or vice presidents, if we have like we have this year, we have 2, they are in charge of recruiting who's going to speak.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll talk with them about, you know, we've already had 2 V people. Can we get something else?
Yes, or, I see.
You know, one of our charter statements is we also encourage flower arranging and flower growing.
Yes.
So it's like maybe we need to have someone show us some flower arranging basics, you know, because again, even though I'm in the garden club, I'm a great gardener and I love flowers. You know, I just stick them in a vase. I'm not a professional flower arranger.
Yeah.
But our parent organization has, you know, a lot of other clubs. It's called the Buttes District, and that's a regional grouping of garden clubs. And one of those is the Bidwell Design Group, and they do flower arranging, and they're very passionate about it. So sometimes they'll come and give us a talk.
Yeah.
And while I can't remember everything they say, I do learn, you know, some basics, and other people are interested in that stuff too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. Go ahead, Susan.
We just had our greens workshop in December, and we go up to the woods and we cut down all kinds of greens and get pine cones, and we make wreaths and swags and centerpieces, and that's open to the public, and they pay reasonable fee, I think very reasonable, and they come home with a beautiful fresh wreath, swag, or centerpiece.
Yeah.
And we held that in December, so we're going to be doing that again next year.
Sweet. That's a great thing for kids, too.
Yeah, a lot of the kids love it. And a lot of garden people, members in the club, we donate greens and colorful things from our own gardens, too. So it's like you'll see kind of interest. Like I'd grow a lot of hop seed, which is just a shrub with kind of interesting foliage that turns maroon in the fall.
Yeah.
People love that in arrangements because you don't see that everywhere. So garden club members will also kind of pick things from our own gardens, drop it off, and then you'll see kind of even more unusual kind of wreaths and swags and things
that you can
than you would find in most places. Yeah, and that's just another kind of fun thing that as a garden club, because we have more unusual things, you know, we can donate to make it even a little more special.
Sure.
The Greens Workshop, it's a real touchstone for the community. A lot of people, you know, we've been doing it for years and years and years, and a lot of people now grew up doing it. Now they're bringing their kids to it, and it's a really wonderful tradition.
You're listening to a pre-recorded interview with Susan Delgado and Grant Meyer from Chico Garden Club and the Horticultural Society here in Chico. You're listening to 90.1 FM. My name is Bobby Tryon, North State Local Voices, and we will return. To my interview with Susan Delgado and Grant Meyer talking about the Chico Garden Club.
I know you're looking for, we're trying to get the word out there because this is a good time to come, to start coming. First of all, it's spring. Obviously, that's another good time. But just to get people in the community wake up and be interested in maybe coming to some of your meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And like Sue said, you know, it's free to come to the meeting. You know, so people can just come onesie, twosie if they see something on the website, chicogardenclub.com, that, you know, that they're interested in. They can just come and listen to the speaker and then leave. And it's totally free.
Yeah.
It's only $25 to join for a year.
Yes.
And that allows you to participate in, you know, the field trips and some of the special events that we do. And then it's $10 for an additional person in the household. But
that's
just to come and drop in on the speakers, that is absolutely free. And it's great social time, you know, and for us and, you know, just to talk about other people and what they're interested in, even if they don't join, but maybe they're just really interested in iris or bees or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, it's such
by becoming a member, you also are a member of the California Garden Clubs, and a lot of nurseries will give you discounts when you show your gardening club.
At places,
so you can get your $25 back pretty easy if you buy a lot of plants.
Yeah. Well, it's such a nice social thing for people. Because sometimes people don't know how to meet people and be out in the world. This sounds like a great one.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, and it's like a safe space. It's fun.
Yeah.
I think the message we like to get out there is you don't need to be a professional gardener. You don't need to have a lot of experience. You know, you can just come and say, I knew what grows well here, right? Or you can be an expert from somewhere else, but you're still fine-tuning how to grow things
Right.
Or you're just, you're a plant shark like I am. You like unusual things. You're cruising the sales all the time. You're trying to grab those unusual things.
Yeah.
This is a great way other people will have them and share them. So yeah, it's a great social time. The social
You know, and another thing now is that people are getting rid of lawns. So that's opening up a whole other can of worms, you know, to be able to change your yard.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people, we've had speakers come in on native gardening or low water, you know, they're not exactly the same. So yeah, we've had people who come in and really encourage it and talk about the program, how you can get a rebate for reducing your lawn.
Sure.
And even I've been affected by it. You know, I'm sneaking in more and more native plants as time goes by, because someone will come in and talk about, you know, manzanita or some of these really great native plants.
Right.
And, you know, if you've got an unirrigated corner in the yard, just plop one in and see. And it's amazing the kind of beauty you can get from native stuff. But
yeah,
that's another great opportunity for people, maybe even who are expert gardeners and love their lawns and have done all that, but they want to get rid of the lawn and learn how to do it.
So, or fill in a little bit. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
With any hobby, it's just wonderful to connect with people who have the same passion, right? Because I do wear people out very quickly in person. I can see the glazing of the eyes, you know.
I get
it. And I never see that in the garden club. You know, people will talk plants all day long.
You know, the other thing that I always am interested in is the dirt. So I imagine you have some good information there and learning about that. You know, I kind of got myself a rolling composter. You know, what to put in with different plants and all of that is always so mysterious to me.
Well, one of the things I learned when we went to the worm farm is to use worm castings. And it doesn't take very many. In fact, too many will burn up plants. But you can just put a little bit of worm castings in with your potting soil, and that helps your plants grow.
Uh-huh.
Grant?
Yeah. You're right. It's a subject all unto itself. You know, there's books and all kinds of seminars and workshops.
Right.
And we've had a couple on that as well. And it's the thing I always think is so interesting is a lot of the native plants, they really don't want a lot of amendments, you know, because they grow in the wild. They didn't grow in a beautiful mulchy yard. You know, cactus and succulents, compost is poison to them because it holds so much water.
It's too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always, when I plant cactus and aloes, I've got some aloes from Sue that she dropped off at the freebie table at the club one time. You know, those, you just dig a hole and put them in. Whereas roses and things like that, you know, they want that rich compost. And and I've got a compost pile too. And to me, it's just magic. You know, you throw in some leaves and some non-animal kitchen scraps. And, you know, you turn it every now and then. I'm not obsessive about it, but a lot of our members are, you know, they've got that.
Yes, you can get crazy.
Yeah. And I love it because I love anyone who's passionate about anything, right?
Yeah,
so plants especially. But yeah, they'll go out there with their thermometer, you know, it pokes deep in and they check and it needs to be steaming in the winter. I'm not that obsessive, but I go out and I turn it once a week, once every two weeks. And in a couple months, it turns into soil. It's an amazing process, right?
It is.
It is fun because in the meeting, we'll talk about, you know, we just had someone from the Rose Society and she was saying, roses love compost, you know, add it to the soil when you plant your rose. If you've got extra, just mulch around it, you know, a couple inches from the stem.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a whole other discussion about it.
There is a whole discussion. And it's interesting that you say some plants don't like it because in your mind, you think, oh, compost for everybody. No.
You bet. Yeah. Yeah. The native plants, they really don't want it. Cactus and succulents, they absolutely hate it. Other things, you know, they crave it. You know, the things that I would say that do a lot, you know, that make a lot of fruit, that make a lot of vegetables and make a lot of flowers. They love it. You know, marigolds and gourds and pumpkins and beans and they love it. But things that are a little more stoic, I call them, you know, kind of, you know, a cactus or, you know, a manzanita, things that kind of are a little slower. They don't want it so much. Yeah. But we have those discussions all the time. And it's.
Yeah. I can see there's just so much information that somebody can glean from just a conversation with gardeners.
Yeah, you know, and
we have one whole program just on orchids. Donna Murrow, who's since passed away, but she gave us just a whole hour on orchids and caring for orchids because those ones you buy in the grocery store, she showed us how to divide them and how to replant them and what kind of moss to use. And it was very informative.
Very good. Do you have any of those digitally? Any of those talks?
We don't have any recorded. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
But anyway, we didn't record them. We probably should have, looking back on it.
Yeah. And well, it might be a good thing to do just because, you know, once it's said, it's nice to go back. You know, somebody might want to think about orchids another time.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great idea. We'll bring that up at the board of directors.
Bring that up.
Yeah. You know, and that reminds me, we do have an amazingly wonderful newsletter. You know, it is colorful and funny and has local events.
Okay, good.
And we do a plant of the month where one of the members will say, here's a plant that's doing something this month. Here's what I do and keep it happy.
Okay.
Those we do archive on the website. So there's the main homepage and there's kind of a drop down that'll say, you know, plant of the month. So we archive those because like you said, people, especially around Christmas, they're always, what do I do with my poinsettia? What do I do with my Christmas cactus?
Yes.
That kind of thing.
I have one of those right now.
What's that?
A poinsettia.
Oh my gosh, you still have it going.
I have a poinsettia that I gave my dad when he was in the hospital 5 years ago.
Oh, see?
I kept it.